CTV.
This is Martin Zender in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and this is my studio in the car. I like the microphone in the studio, but I also like being in my car, and you like it when I'm in my car, so I decided to bring the studio to my car. I think I'm going to be doing this at the beach too. Studio at the beach, studio against the wall, studio under a tree, studio in the cemetery. It's going to be half the fun is seeing where I can take the studio next. I have a comforting word for you today, and this stuff comforts me. Before I bring it to you, it's already worked in me, because I can't bring you anything I haven't tried and tested myself. Now, there's something you need to know about me, and that is that I really don't feel this God thing in my life. The Spirit of God is operating in me as it is in you, and I have been blessed, according to the Apostle Paul, he would know, in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. And yet, it's a weird thing, I don't feel it. I don't feel like I'm particularly blessed. Now, don't get me wrong, intellectually, I know that I'm blessed. I'm living in a beautiful part of the country. I have a wonderful landlady. I have the best job in the world. And I was born in the United States of America, and I was born at a wonderful time in history. And so I have no complaints. I am blessed over and over and over again, and I'm thankful for it. But then why would I ever get upset? Why would I ever get depressed? Why would I ever feel like things just aren't going my way? It's because these blessings that we have are by faith, not perception, and we acknowledge them with our intellect. That doesn't sound very spiritual, but it is. God loves to be just flat out believed in spite of not hearing or seeing anything. God blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 1, the first few verses there. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. And the Spirit of God makes its home in us, 1 Corinthians. You would think that if the Spirit of God made its home in you, I mean, that's like saying that a rhinoceros has moved into your house. The Spirit of God is even bigger than a rhinoceros. Let's just say 5 rhinoceri move into your house. You would know that. You would be aware of it. You would feel it. You would smell it. You would, hear it. And yet, this thing far more epic than having 5 rhinoceri in your house is having the Spirit of God making its home in you. And yet, I don't feel any of it. I can't perceive it. I don't feel the presence of God in my life. I don't feel like I'm a son of God. I don't feel like I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. But you know how much God loves it when you believe it anyway. I mean, it is a complete walk of faith. And this flies in the face of Pentecostalism, which says, it puts a high priority on your feelings. You have to feel everything in that stupid religion. Sorry. And if you don't feel it, then it's not real. And that's just why people feel bad. Like they're looking around in these churches and this guy's got his hands in the air. This woman is doing jumping jacks. This kid's rolling around in the aisles. Somebody over here is barking. Why? Somebody's laughing over here. Why don't I do these things? Maybe something's wrong with me. Yeah, maybe something's wrong with you. But it's not. Nothing is wrong with you. Do you remember the Roman centurion who went to Jesus and he said he wanted him to heal his son? And the Lord said, yeah, I'll be right over. Hang on. And the centurion said this. It blew Jesus' mind because he never got this kind of faith even in Israel. The guy, the Roman centurion, said to Christ, said, Lord, just say the word and my servant shall be healed. Jesus Christ was flabbergasted, loved it, that this guy knew that the word had such power and that Jesus Christ, willing such a miracle to take place, would enact the thing, would make it take place. So he knew that Jesus didn't even have to show up at his house. To me, this represents a physicality, right? Jesus comes to your house. It seems like it's easier for Jesus to do this when he's right there. We also see other times in the scriptures where people put hands on people. That woman with the hemorrhage touched Jesus's cloak and she was healed. So we get the idea that physical proximity is necessary to spirituality, to miracles. But that's primitive. And this Roman centurion is introducing to us this fantastic thing that no, physical proximity is not needed. But if Jesus just spoke it, it was so powerful. His word, his intention was so powerful that it would happen. Jesus is like, whoa, this man has faith. I'm drawing an analogy there of between the proximity of the Lord to someone, to you having feelings, to you having some kind of sense that, yes, I feel full of the Spirit of God. No, I don't. I do not feel full of the Spirit of God. I don't feel like I have any spirit, but I know it's there because I believe. And our belief is the evidence. It's your belief that is the evidence that you are saved. Not whether you feel it, not whether you react to it in some way, not whether you pray 15 times a day. Yes, we're to be thankful. I'm not telling you not to be thankful. I'm just saying that you don't need to monitor your feelings. And you might not even have them. And I know many of you probably are worried about it. I mean, I could be, because I feel flat a lot of the times, you know? I think I got this low-grade depression thing going on, where it's just like things aren't, I told you before, you know about it, things aren't as exciting to me as they used to be. I'm like, what's happening here? And it may be, think of this, because I'm just now thinking of it, maybe it's that God wants me to walk even further in the Spirit and in faith, because faith, I remind you over and over again, is an assurance concerning things which are not being observed. So maybe that's it. Maybe this is an opportunity to exercise faith. Well, yeah, it's an opportunity for God to give me more faith. And I have to admit that He does. He does give me a lot of faith. I've told you that, and really, the flatter you are, the more faith you need. And I've told you, I have extra faith. If anybody needs any, I have leftover, right? It's just oozing out of me. And I say that not bragging. It's of no credit to me. God parts to each the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. And this too, I don't look for clues to find out what I'm supposed to do next. Some people, in order to discern the will of the Lord, they will go into their room, they'll make the room quiet, they'll make the room dark, and they will get on their knees and they will pray and they will say, Lord, show me the way. And it's like God is, you know, that game you used to play when you were a kid. People used to leave you clues, and you'd go to this place to find another clue, and that clue would take you to another place, and it becomes this treasure hunt type of thing. I'm not hunting for any treasure here. I don't have the patience for it. God hasn't given me that much patience for it. I don't have the mental capacity to figure it out. And so to me, I think God is just as pleased with me saying to Him, Lord, just make it obvious to me. I'm not going to play a game. I'm not going to go chasing this thing. I'm not going to look for breadcrumbs. I'm not going to go from one clue to another. You have the power to make things obvious to me. So whatever is the most obvious thing in my life, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to second guess it, because if you wanted me to do something else, you would have made the situation different. I think that is just as pleasing to God as this Roman centurion was to Christ. When he says, hey, man, dude, you don't even have to come to my house. Like, my wife probably wouldn't like it if you showed up either. She heard about you. She's not a big fan. Our house is a mess right now. We're remodeling. Just say the word. And instead of being offended, Jesus Christ is like, this is great. Why? Because someone is asking of Him to exercise more power. It takes more power, if you ask me, to heal somebody at a distance of 20 miles than to go right up to them, put your hand on them, start vibrating. That's still a good miracle. The vibration, the sound, the shaking, it's still impressive, but even more impressive from 20 miles away. That's a pretty good trick. So I tell God, and I encourage you to do this too, He likes to be challenged. I said, God, don't play games with me. You need to just make my circumstances so that I know what to do, because I will just follow the most obvious circumstance. We have the blessed understanding that God is the one making every circumstance. And so your circumstances day by day paint you into a corner. So we just follow the strongest impulse, the strongest circumstance, and we trust, this is the part God loves, we trust that it's of God. I do this, I recommend it for you.